This was an old church. I'm back, and it's a young church. Amen. I'm overwhelmed. See a lot of familiar faces here. Seems like yesterday we're just kids, amen, old people? Amen. And my mind goes back. Any of you see the movie Saving Private Ryan? At the end of the movie, the old guy goes back to the cemetery in France. How many of you been to that cemetery? I've been there. Lots of us have been. I've been there several times. And at the end, he found the graves of his friends. And he was at the grave. I'm going to bow here because this is right where I bowed when I got saved, June 18th, 1972. Actually, about where the piano seat is. And I came out of a mess, and Jesus came into my heart. Amen. He took away my sins, forgave me. You know, my sin list, you know, that was just for eighth grade. It got worse after that, right, Rick? I look out and I see some friends. I graduated high school with Rick and Debbie. I'll never be able to run for public office as long as they live. Amen. And he was at the grave and he was weeping. And his wife came and put her hand on her husband's shoulder, and he was an aged man now. And he looked up and he said, I just want to live worthy. My friends died and I want to make them proud. I want to live to make those my friends who died. I want to live to make them proud. And that's how I feel right now. I know most of you don't know me. Might have heard about me. But hope I made you proud. And if I did, you know and I know it wasn't me. Amen? It was Jesus. Jack and Marilyn Carr told me way back in 1972, without Jesus, Duke, you can do nothing, man. Understatement, Marilyn. My favorite all-time bus kid in the whole wide world, Robin, where are you at? Used to pick her up a plane till, where's Robin? There she is. She likes to lay low. Most of you know, God did a miracle in my life, and 5 years after I was saved, I'm here to attribute today that beautiful women will marry ugly men if we get close enough to Jesus. Amen. I preached that at Liberty University convocation. 6,000 young men came forward and rededicated their life to Christ. So some of you helped pack Joellen and I up. We stored some of our stuff in one of your Sunday school classes for about 6 weeks while we were doing our little missionary trip to New York, and we came back, found where God wanted us, and picked it up, and some of you launched us out of here. Went to New York, where the motto of our state is, you get a dirty look, a left hook, and your money took, amen? Actually, that was from Duke's Bar and Won't Tell Motel, if I recall, but the New York heard it and adopted it immediately, you know, and that's on a good day. And so who would have ever thunk what God had up his sleeve? Rick and I took a vocational test of Mr. Morris, Birdman, right? Mr. Morris, we called Birdman, got us out of Ed Mikowski's government class to take this ridiculous vocational test. What would you rather do, ride a bike or read a book? And at the time, I had marijuana growing all over Richland County, and then had backups in Knox County and in Ashland County just in case. We used to go inside the cornfields, three rows, and it was a wonderful thing. Got to have some backup systems. So that was my whole world. And the vocational aptitude, what direction you should go vocationally, said, tell them, Rick,
be a
minister or an artist. Rick thought that was really funny. And it was so funny, he can't even remember what he was supposed to be. And I became a minister, and I married an artist. I came home from Bible college my junior year, and my aunt Ilo, who loved the Lord, she said, I want you to come. I have something I want to give you. It's going to be a blessing. And I went to her house, and she's been long with the Lord now. And she handed my great-grandmother's Bible, Mary Mosier. And Grandma Mosier was in a Fairlawn nursing home in Mansfield, and she was elderly and sick and almost blind. And she wrote in her Schofield Study Bible, May 6, 1962, "Dear Lord Jesus," and this church was about 4 years old at that time. She said, "Dear Lord, I'm old, I'm dying." She didn't get saved until she was late in life. She said, "I have no money, I have no gifts, I have no strength. I have nothing to give you. But," she said, "in Jesus' name, I have many grandsons. Please save one of my grandsons and call him to preach." She prayed that prayer in 1962, died in 64. In 1972, 10 years after she writes the prayer, old people, listen up. What is old? That's an interesting question. 60 used to be old, but it ain't old anymore. 70's not old. I'll get back on script here. 1972. I'm minding my own business down at the Lucas Park smoking dope, and the Holy Spirit grabs me and brings me to Cook Road Baptist Church. I'd been here often. In the back of the building there, the streetlights don't shine. Dennis Dietrich, the WAP, and I used to kind of slide in back there and smoke weed in your back parking lot. And I said, "Man, I've been attending this church for 2 years. And this girl, Jeannie Atwell, I don't know if any remember the Atwell family. Jeannie Atwell, she was a twin, boy-girl twin. She was rather attractive. She invited me to go to church. I thought, "I'll go to the dentist with you." She brought me to church. How cool is that?
Amen.
Going to church. I didn't want you to know about that. I thought you'd think I'm not cool anymore. I'm going to church. And I sat back there and I heard Pastor Standridge preach the Word of God with authority, amen, without apology, amen, with compassion. And I felt welcome here. I had the longest hair in the whole church. First time I was here, I was sitting back and I'm looking around. It was a really conservative crowd. I was thinking, I bet I'm the only one here with a pound of dope in their glove box. I'm being too real, preacher. I'm sorry. So many, these people got so much junk on me. I just got to tell the truth so that they don't want everybody else to think I'm somebody I am not.
That's right.
And let's just say this. Isn't grace amazing?
Amen.
Jesus can fix broken lives.
Amen.
He can change everything. And they gave an invitation. People came up and prayed. I thought, man, a team of horses couldn't get me up there. Those people are crazy. But I felt welcome here. I felt safe. Nobody tried to buy dope from me. I felt safe. When you're a drug dealer and people come up, strangers come up and want to buy dope, it makes you a little nervous. You can make a quick $20 or a slow 20 years in prison, amen, back in those days. I came here, and Don Smith shook my hand and said, "I hope you find what you're looking for." "How'd you know I'm looking for anything, man?" And I did. 4 weeks later, I didn't quite run, but almost ran down the altar here. I hugged Pastor Standridge. He'd never been hugged by a hippie before. My first time here, I had on bell-bottom jeans, like really big bells, big, and really tight up here. Remember those leather jackets with all the fringe that hung down all over the place?
Yeah.
And no shirt.
Yeah.
Just saying. But people welcomed me, and I knew they wanted me to come back, and I did, and I did, and I did. 4 weeks later, Ira Merce led me to Christ. 3 months later, God called me to preach. Remember Grandma's prayer? So old people, write down your prayers. Don't ever give up on God. You don't know what he's got up his sleeve. I want to preach to you today because it's missions. And missions is my life. God had one mission, one son. He was a missionary, Jesus. What is a missionary? Who told you about Jesus? That's a missionary. Who, have you ever invited people to church? You're a missionary. Don't you want to be a good missionary? I want to be a good missionary. I want to make a mission point. What a perfect name for this church.
Amen.
What a perfect name. I'm so proud of you, Pastor Dan, and some of you people that have been, you've been the core of the church all these years, and you just, and you've changed. But you know what hasn't changed? Jesus hasn't changed.
Amen.
This hasn't changed.
Right.
The call to preach hasn't changed.
Amen.
Your mission hasn't changed. It's just that God's just doing now, right now, what he did 50 years ago. It's the same church. I'll just do it in story form. In John chapter 3, it's Passover. Jews had gathered from all over the land. And it's like Mardi Gras, only in a holy way. Sorry, that was a bad illustration. Can I scratch that from the record? They're happy to be there, but it was different this time. Jesus was in town. And all thoughts were on Jesus. People were kind of chilling on Jesus because, I mean, people adored him. He raised your kid from the dead, you'll love him. You see him walk on the water, you'll love him. You see him cleanse lepers, you'll love him. There are people that adored him, but the religious leaders hated him. So everything was Jesus, but they had to lay low on it. Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. He's a member of the Sanhedrin court. He's like a Supreme Court dude. And he's with the team that hates Jesus, but he's trying to connect the dots like we are. I remember trying to connect the dots. And he's got all this religion and all this knowledge. He's very intelligent. He's wealthy. He's trying to connect the dots. But he doesn't want everybody to find out that he's connecting up with Jesus. Like I didn't want Rick to know I went to church. Kind of doing the Nicodemus thing. I didn't even know who Nicodemus was. We had a sheep named Nicodemus, didn't we? Yeah. Different guy. And are you all right, Dan? You didn't know what you were getting into, did you? Sorry, dude. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus spent a lot of... Any of you been to the Garden of Gethsemane? Pretty awesome, isn't it? Same trees are still growing there. And Jesus went right for the jugular. Now picture this. Garden of Gethsemane! Live! Jesus with Nicodemus. Jesus goes right for the jugular. Nicodemus wants to kind of beat around the... Jesus didn't beat around bushes. And he said, you must be born again, or you won't enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is like, whoa, he's a little insulted. Don't you know who I am? Of course Jesus knew who he was. You see, Jesus doesn't play favorites. There's no big shots, little shots with Jesus. We're just all sinners, and he loves us all, that's all. He was a sinner. He needed to be saved, that's all. So they have a dialogue, and Jesus dials up John 3:16. Jesus, live at Gethsemane. Nicodemus, here goes Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wasn't enough. Nicodemus, not ready. He's mad. Jesus didn't acknowledge me as being somebody special. And he leaves that night still unsaved. And I think Jesus is teaching the disciples something here. They're already committed to Jesus. But there's a lot yet still to learn. Amen. That's why we're in church today, right? We've committed our lives to him, but there's still a lot yet to learn. So Jesus is teaching these guys. They're watching this dialogue with Nicodemus. They're like, Jesus, take it easy on this dude. Don't you know who he is? He's pretty important. Maybe you can win his favor. He can win his, you know, Jesus didn't do politics. Amen. He got in politics' face. He exposed corruption. And, you know, Jesus, if you'd have taken it easy on him, he might have gotten saved. Jesus, art thou a ruler of the Jew? You don't know these things? Can a man be born again when he's old? And so he leaves lost. Later, I think he got saved when he teamed up with Joseph Arimathea to beg the body of Jesus at the crucifixion. I think John 3:16 did have its work in Nicodemus's heart, but it took a while. Have you learned that about men? It takes a while for us to process it, you know? That's why I learned to minister to people. I challenge men and never push them. You push a man, he pushes back. I like that. I think we should. But I got challenged here. I didn't get pushed. Got challenged to think. And Jesus challenged Nicodemus, and he came back, and he turned out okay. But there's a bigger story going on here. That was Jesus, Nicodemus, and God. Of course, Jesus and God, if you see me, you've seen the Father, I and my Father are one. But that was a Nicodemus-Jesus thing. What I'm talking about here is the disciples and Jesus thing. It's missions month. That night in Gethsemane, Jesus was on mission. And most of the big God stuff doesn't happen in the crowd. It doesn't happen in church. It happens mostly in the park. Just saying. So next day, John 4, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. The disciples are like, are you kidding? Samaria? We don't do Samaria. We go around Samaria. Jesus, these are half-breed Jews. These people broke the law. They intermarried with the Canaanites. They're a mess. We don't want to go there. Don't tell Jesus where you don't want to go. You're going to go there. We're going to Samaria, boys. All right. But I'm not going to talk to anybody. See, Jesus didn't play the race game. Jesus didn't play the political game. He didn't do the big shot, little shot game. So they go through Samaria. The guy's like, let's get in and let's get out. So they get there, and it's in the heat of the day. The disciples are thirsty. They're all thirsty. And Jesus sends the disciples into town to get food. And he's out there, and the disciples, as they're leaving, they see Jesus talking to this woman at the well. We call her the woman at the well. Her name's not even given. And they're like, oh, man, there he goes again. Jesus has to talk to everybody. Jesus, she's a Samaritan. Stop it. You're embarrassing us. He has them outside of their comfort zone. God's going to, if you really want to be a missionary, get out of your comfort zone. Right? I don't like Samaritans. Shut up. And so Jesus starts talking to her, and the disciples are like, that's his problem. They're in town to try to get some food, get in, get out. Wendy's is on at some specials. We get some goodies. We're in and out. They come back. This woman had a talk with Jesus. Maybe we should say Jesus had a talk with this woman. She was shocked that he would even speak to her. He was kind. Jesus in us is kind. And he was friendly. And she was shocked and mentioned they would start talking about the water. Jesus kind of paraphrases it, can you get me a drink of water? So she's graciously doing that. She said, how art thou, being a Jew, speaking to me, that I'm a Samaritan? He didn't even go in. He didn't even waste his time with that racial stuff. He's above that. And then he said, I have water to drink that you know not of. And she said, I don't see the bucket. I don't see the rope. What are you talking about? And he said, well, the water that I have, if you drink it, you never thirst again. Ha ha. She kind of senses he's taking the conversation philosophical, but he had won her heart. You see, we should go out to win people's hearts. Jeannie won my heart. Rick, you were the one. You were in all my junk, all my stories. You're right in the center of it. I leaned over one day in Spanish class. I whispered in Rick's ear, watch this, I'll make Jeannie cry. Remember that? And yes. He's like, what? Yes. And I made her cry. I whispered filthy things in her ears, very filthy things in her ears. And Jeannie got up and cried and ran out. Dropped out of Lucas School, went to Mansfield Christian. Senior year, came back. Singing, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. May I humbly do my part and win that soul to thee. She said, Lord, whoever in the whole school is furthest from you, put them in my path and let me win them to you. It was a toss-up between Rick and I. But God chose me. I was more pathetic than Rick. I worked hard at it. You raised the bar. And that, in senior, she sat next to all my classes. I was kind of embarrassed. I remember the last thing I said to her. And she was warm and kind and friendly. When at the human level, she had no reason to do that. And she said, after about the second week of school, I got the strength up to look her in the eye and say, hey, I feel like a real jerk for how I treated you back in 10th grade and the filthy things I whispered in your ears. I'm really sorry about that. And she looked me in the eye with a tear and said, I completely forgive you. That was then. This is now. God has called me to be your friend. And then she smiled and said, you're the reason I came back to school here. What are you talking about? Now I know. I didn't know this part of the story. But God did. Amen? He's got stuff up his sleeve. So the woman at the well is, she's fascinated with Jesus. She's comfortable with Jesus. He's leading this somewhere. And, oh, give me this water to drink that I don't thirst again. And Jesus said, go tell your husband. And she said, oh, I have no husband. And now Jesus had her right where he wanted her. And then he said, that's true, sweetheart. I don't know if he said sweetheart, but I'm going to put it in the text. That's true, sweetheart. You've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with is not your husband. We'd say back in our day, busted! It's good to get busted by Jesus, amen? It's really good to get busted by Jesus, because he doesn't bust us for the purpose of condemnation. He busts us for the purpose of salvation. And she said, I'm going to paraphrase this too. I perceive that you are a prophet. And she was more than correct. He was even more than a prophet. And she said, we know that the Messiah comes and he'll tell us all things. Nicodemus, at the top of the social order last night, didn't get it. We know that Messiah comes. Now, the next day, they're at the bottom of the social thing, and she's listening. There might be a little mission message there is for us, amen? That's why I've done jail ministry for 30 years. We pastor the Saratoga County Jail, three services every Sunday night, A-Pod, then the women, then the B-Pod, and it went so good there, we got invited into Rensselaer County, and now we're moving over into Schenectady County as Don Watts is passing off the scene. He's turning it all over to us. That's why he's preaching the city mission every third Tuesday for 40 years. You go where the people are hurting the most. Go to where the people are hurting the most and be kind and be friendly and be warm and be engaging. I was on the bottom when I came in here, and you know what y'all were. I know it's a new crowd mostly, but you were warm and engaging and kind. Wow. And she, Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. Nicodemus didn't have that figured out. He was too big for his britches, Mr. Smarty Pants, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. She got it. Throws open her heart, jumps in with both feet. Radical salvation, amen. I think we should be radical for Jesus. Radical, without question. He says, jump, we say, how high? She runs into town. As she's running out, the disciples are shown back up. And here's the point of the message today. This is the big point. Disciples are glad she's gone. We got our groceries. Just eat and get out of here. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. She goes into Samaria, into the town, and she tells, she's a harlot, okay? That also embarrassed the disciples. She's a Samaritan. She's a harlot. She's nobody. She's at the bottom. But Jesus likes to take people at the bottom and raise them up a bit. Amen.
Amen.
And so they realize something's going on here more than Jesus is talking with this girl. And he said this. I have bread to eat that you know not of. King James says meat. Other versions say bread. I like the word bread best. I have bread to eat that you know not of. He's on mission. It wasn't to the big crowd. It was one-on-one. Missionary works one-on-one most of the time. He did it last night. It didn't have such great success. He does it in the morning now, or in noon at Samaria, and she gets saved. And half the town of Samaria gets saved. They got to stay 2 more days. Good for those guys. You don't like it here? 2 more days, dude. Get used to it. You're with Jesus now. I'm going to continually make you uncomfortable. I'm going to teach you to love these people. They're in town. And the disciples heard this. I have bread to eat, you know not of. I have bread to eat, you know not of. I think for the rest of that day, that night, the next 2 days, I have bread to eat, you know not of. Jesus wanted to teach me that same lesson. He wants all of us to know that lesson. I remember getting my first real bite of bread on mission, person to person, here. 9 o'clock, Saturday morning, bus visitation. A guy named Jim Bailey was the bus leader. Saw that I love kids, and kids kind of gravitated to me and made me a bus captain here at Cook Road. I showed up at 9 o'clock. There were supposed to be 5 of us show up. I was the new kid on the block. They're teaching me how to do it, you know? Nobody shows up. I'm ticked. I'm out of here. I'm going to stop doing this bus ministry thing. These people are supposed to be my leaders. They're not even here. And so they're not going. I'm going home. And then the Holy Spirit, boom, convicts my heart. Are you following? Jesus said, are you following me or are you following these guys? Well, I'm following you. He said, then shut up. Get your eyes off these people and go visit the stinking bus kids. Not, they weren't stinking, but well, some of them were. Go visit the bus kids. All right. So I felt like super spirit now. Hey, it's Brother Duke, the bus captain. I went to your house. Where's Robin? I went to your house. Did you know I was mad that day? I was mad at all those people who didn't show up, but I went and I visited all my kids. I'm feeling like Mr. Super Spirit now. Yeah, baby, I visited all by myself. And I'm ready to go home. It's about noon. And I heard that same voice, not audibly, but saying, what about the other bus route? You think I love your bus route more than I love the other bus route? I love both bus routes. Go visit the other bus route. I already visited mine. Jesus said, they're all mine. Go visit them. But I haven't had lunch. That's a big deal for a Baptist, amen? That's a big deal. Just go, shut up and go visit the bus kids. So I did. Now I feel like double spiritual super Christian. I visit all my bus kids, and I'm on my last visit on the other bus route. I'm going to be a rich man in heaven. Last house, the screen doors open, or shut, but the doors open. I go up and I knock. There's a little girl, 10-year-old girl, on the phone. She's kind of crying. And I'm like, what? And there's nobody else home, just this 10-year-old girl and me, Brother Duke, at the door. She keeps waving me, come in, come in. I'm like, okay, where's your parents? You know, I don't want to go to prison. Where's your parents? She goes, my aunt, she's on the phone. She's going to kill herself. I'm 19 years old. I haven't been to seminary yet. I'm not a hotline for, you know, a suicide hotline here. I'm a 19-year-old kid, you know. I just got out of the park last year, you know. I'm all new to this thing about Jesus. And she's the gal's crying here, the little girl's crying here. And she's, I'm going to kill myself. I got the 45 in my head right now. No, don't do it. Jesus saves. No. And I started telling my testimony. I don't know what else to do. Jesus saved me. He can save you. And she said, come over here and talk to me. If you're not here in 10 minutes, I'll kill myself. So I grabbed the little girl. We go over. The little girl knew where she lived. It was only about a mile away. We go out here. She's got the gun to her head. And I'm pleading with her. The little girl's crying. This gal's crying. She's got the gun. Take it down. And Jesus saves. Don't do that. God loves you. And she put the gun down. I get the bullets out of the gun, put them in my pocket. I guess I was stealing. I shouldn't have stole those bullets, but I did. And she kind of calmed down, and we were there like 2 hours. And 2 hours later, she got on her knees, and she said the same prayer I said over here. She got saved. The next day, she rides on the Sunday school bus with her niece. And God just changed her life, and she loved me. I'm her hero. And I feel like, woo, this is awesome. Now it's about 6 o'clock. And Jack and Marilyn, where's Marilyn at? They were having a big to-do at their farm. They did that like 3 times a week for 75 years. You know that. And it's bonfire, and Jack's corn was the best corn in the history of the world. That's not even an argument. There's corn and hot dogs. I ate 6 hot dogs. Quickly. And I had to preach that night. And I wasn't a polished preacher. Matter of fact, I never have been. I'm funny, but I'm not polished. Have you noticed that? Where's he going next? I don't know. And so I didn't have time to prepare. Remember, Jesus said, it shall be given you. I leaned hard on that verse that night. Lord, I need you. So I got there that night, and I used the same verses I'm using with you. And I preached around that campfire. You think that fire's hot? That ain't near as hot as hell. Give your heart to Jesus. Please don't go to hell. And that night, there were 2 girls sitting. I could see the tears come down their face. Terry and Chris Jackson. The Jackson girls got saved that night. I hadn't done any marijuana now for almost a year and a half. But I was buzzed. I floated home that night in my car. 3 people got saved that day. 3 people got saved that day. You know what happened? I got a bite of bread. Ooh, it's good. Ooh. Once you taste that bread, things of earth grow strangely dim. Amen. Preacher, I bet the Holy Spirit's right now in your mind, taking you back when you got your first bite of bread. Amen?
Amen?
Got a bite of bread. How do you explain that? I don't know. Terry Jackson went on to be a missionary to Italy. Just saying. This is the work of God, what he was doing here through Cook Road in those days. And I walk in this morning, I'm overwhelmed what God is doing at Center Point these days.
Amen.
He's the same God. He's doing the same thing. Powerfully then, powerfully now. One last story and I'm done. Joellen got saved out of Italian Catholic family. In Detroit, her family persecuted her because of her faith and walk with Jesus. She was married a year and she met me. Married another year, she went to Bible college, and we got married. And then went to Bible college. And in the third year, she became a pastor's wife. She's been a pastor's wife for 44 years. How cool is that? We were just kids. But she was in the big church, Temple Baptist Detroit, Dr. G.B. Vick, A.V. Henderson. She's in the church, and she gets pulled right in immediately to the inner core of the committed college-age group of kids. There were about 200 in the college class. There were about 15 of them on fire for Jesus. She was hanging out with them. There's 185 like, oh, yeah, I go to church. And we kind of hooked up, and it's lots of sweet stories. You heard those the other night. You don't need to hear them again. Amazing things God was doing, but it was a Saturday, and I picked her up at 7:30 in the morning at her house, went back to church, got on a bus, went out and picked up 50 kids on a school bus, church bus. Took her back to the church, went to Boblo Island. It's like Cedar Point in Detroit. Took the kids all day long. Came back, took our bus kids, dropped them off at home, got back to the church. It's like 8 o'clock at night now. Picked her up at 7:30. It's 8 o'clock at night. We're tired. There were 8 kids that didn't get dropped off at home. They couldn't find their home. I'm from Lucas, Ohio. And when they said, will somebody volunteer to try to find these kids' homes? My hand went up. It wasn't my hand. It was Jesus. Jesus tried to pull that thing down. Stop it. It was Jesus. Amen, Doug? You know what I'm talking about. I always love when my brother Doug comes when I'm preaching, then I'm not the ugliest guy in the room. Amen.
Amen.
You got a lot of room to talk, Dan. For those of you who don't know, my alias was Schmal, Schmalman, Arthur Schmalman from Sunday. So Schmal. Who was that, Rick? That's Schmo. And that's Schmo. You got your Schmies mixed up, dude. You lost a point. You lost a point, dude. Schmal, Schmo, and Schmutt. The three Schmies. And so we get back to the church, and Joel and I volunteered to try to find these kids a home in Detroit. Where do you live? Detroit. So you start heading towards Detroit. We're in the suburbs now. And that's my street. Okay. I know this. Our Lord knows the way through the Detroit. All I have to do is follow. We got them home, we think. We dropped them off. And it's like 9:30 now. Picked her up at 7:30. It's 9:30. We're hungry. And I got this wild idea. We had led this guy to the Lord, Danny Johnson. He'd just gotten out of prison. And I just felt, we need to go visit Danny Johnson. He's down in the guts, roughest part of Detroit. So we drive down to Detroit 10:30 at night, down on Livernois. If you're familiar with Detroit, don't go there on a Saturday night at 10:30. We did. Danny was thrilled to see us. There's a big drug party going on in his house. If he goes in, the cops come. He goes to prison for 30 years, the rest of his life. So he's outside because he can't even go into his own house. He's on parole. He doesn't want to. So we're out there. He's glad to see us, and we're talking about Jesus and praying with him. All of a sudden, bang, 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 gunfire. Shots going off. Cops coming down the street. Cars going by. Bang, 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 bang. He drops to the ground. Joel and I fall down on the floor of this church van. We're down on the floor, and gunshots are going off and sirens. And it was a little scary, a little bit. And I felt bad. I whispered in Joel's ear. We were praying, Lord, don't let us get killed. And I apologized to her. I said, Joel, I'm so sorry. It's so crazy to bring you down here and on this crazy gospel mission, on mission, And I gunshot, I didn't mean to bring you into danger. That was so stupid of me. She said, I'm not scared. She said, this is the greatest moment of my life. I've never felt closer to Jesus than this. You know what happened that night? She got a bite of bread. And we've been eating that bread ever since. Married a penniless preacher. I worked for the school as an RA. They called us dorm moms. I had 48 sons before I was married. 48 all boys. And my graduation certificate was my pink slip. And I was unemployed. She married me anyway, followed me to Missouri, went to school. Then we went to upstate New York, started a church, didn't know a person, and that church grew. We had no support except God's support. Heavenly Father, we see it. That's a whole new sermon. I can't do that now. Just wrap up. God provided our needs. 100 miracles. God provided our needs. The church grew. We started 7 other churches. It wasn't me. It was my mighty men that rose up. They said, if God can use Duke, he can easily use me. And he did. And 7 other churches were birthed. Center Point, Mission Point, you have a baby church in Half Moon, New York. It's called Church at Newtown Road. We went from Cook Road to Mission Point. We went from Temple Baptist to Newtown Road Church. And our church started 7. Those are your grandbaby churches. Wait, well, we're your grandbaby. We're your baby church. They are your grandbaby churches. One of your grandbaby churches, Lighthouse Baptist in Schenectady, started the Lighthouse, Electric City Baptist Church in Rotterdam, New York. Electric City, General Electric World Headquarters is 5 minutes from their church. And that church is going crazy. That's your great-grandbaby church. Y'all didn't even know about it, did you? The DNA of missions was here when I walked in, and Dan, when you walked in. What year did you walk in here?
It was back in the early 80s.
Early 80s. I had just been gone a few years. That same Jesus moved through other churches to birth this church. This church launches me to launch our church. We launch John to launch his church. He launches Anthony to build his church. Y'all didn't even know about it. I'll close with this thought. You just never know. You just never know what God's got up his sleeve. But I tell you, it's significant. And every time you gave a dollar to World Missions, you have no idea. You honored God in your giving. And someday God will show you what he did with it. You have great grandbaby churches. Just never even thought about. You know what Electric City Baptist Church is probably going to do within the next 2 or 3 years? You're going to have a great, great grandbaby church in the Capital District of New York. So this church has touched the Capital Region of New York, Albany, Schenectady, Detroit. Barna survey said it's the darkest city in America. Not a little old Cook Road Baptist Church. Ira Merce leads me to Jesus. God, I got baptized. Used to be right there. Is it still baptistry still there? I got baptized in that baptistry. God called me. I was ordained here December 30th, 1979. This church supported me. Pastor Standridge came many times. Jack Hackworth came and preached for us. And so good to be home today.
Amen.
So good to be home. I'm so proud of you, Pastor Dan. Same DNA. Not many wise, not many noble are called. You know how I know you're not wise and noble? Because you invited me to come. Love you, buddy. Thank you so much. Closing out with this, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? This church is sending missionaries all over the world to bring people to Christ. Have you come to Christ? It's not complicated. Remember, Nicodemus trying to figure it all out, and you just got to let go and let God.
Amen.
Ask him to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart and save you. There you go. If you haven't done that, today's the day. Do it.